Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 34, and I'm going to start a series over the next 7 weeks on the seven sayings. And when we think about these seven sayings, you might say, well, Pastor, what seven sayings are you talking about? There's lots of sayings in the Bible. Well, these are the seven sayings on the cross. These were the seven last words or phrases or sentences that the Lord Jesus Christ uttered while he was on the cross. And I think these, of course, are pretty significant words when we consider the last words of a dying man. Certainly, I believe if we knew we only had a few more things to say, we might make sure that what we say is pretty important. And these are very important words that are spoken by Christ. And this morning we're going to look at the first of these sayings. The title of my message this morning is Forgive Them. Henry Ward Beecher said this, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. This is only another way of saying I will not forgive. Forgiveness ought to be like a canceled note, torn in two and burnt up so that it is never shown again. You know, we as God's people will probably, well, I shouldn't say probably, we would all say that we believe that we have been forgiven by God. Amen? But there are three areas of forgiveness when we consider the idea of forgiveness. And I'm not going to preach on all three of them tonight, but there's the forgiveness of others. And that's probably one of the more common ideas of forgiveness. And when we think about that, I think it's more than necessary in not only in our daily lives, but even in our church as well. We need to be people that are willing to forgive. And you're saying, well, why, Pastor, do we need to forgive? Well, because you're going to need to be forgiven one day as well. Amen? And I will guarantee you this, that if you've lived any length of time, you've been offended. And if you've been in church any length of time, you've been offended. People, you know, I'll either offend you or you'll find someone to offend you. Because we're human beings and because we're sinners and because the Bible, you know, doesn't tell us that we instantly become perfect when we're sinners. And you know what we are? We're a group of sinners that have gathered together here today under one roof. And you know, we come from different backgrounds and we come from different philosophical thoughts, if you will, and ideas of life and maybe even political views or maybe, you know, whatever it may be. We're all different. But we're all the same in the fact that all of us are sinners. And not only have we sinned against God, but we will sin against one another. And you know, it's interesting, as we come to God for forgiveness, it makes it a little bit easier when we know, God, will you forgive me, when we've been able to turn around and say, I've forgiven those that have offended me. So there's the forgiveness of others, one of the most common forgivenesses that we find in the Bible. There's the forgiveness by God as well, when we think about this idea of forgiveness. And again, this may be looked at as being saving grace, the forgiveness that we receive when we come to Christ as a sinner, when we come to Christ seeing our need of a Savior, because we realize, see, without the idea and without the understanding that we're sinners, we can't be saved. Amen? This idea today, well, just pray this little prayer and everything will be fine. Well, wait a minute. Do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you realize that you've offended God by sinning? It's amazing when you go around and talk to people, how many good people there are in this world that deserve heaven. You know, everyone deserves heaven. Well, you know what? I've been a good person all my life. I've not murdered anybody. I've never been incarcerated. I've never done this. The worst I've ever got is a couple speeding tickets. You know, that's it. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm good to my neighbors. I've done all these good things. Well, let me ask this question. If that's you, have you put God first in your life? Have you obeyed God in every area that He asked you to be obedient? You're faithful to church. You're faithful to serving Him, to giving to Him, to praying to Him, to witnessing for Him. You've done all of those things. And a lot of times it gets pretty quiet right about that. Jesus said that we're to love Him with all of our hearts and with all of our minds and with all of our soul and with all of our might and strength and we are just to give Christ. We are to give all of that allegiance to Him. And you know, we may be good people in society. We may have never been incarcerated and never been thrown in jail, but we're still sinners. We've still violated the principles of God, and we've also offended God in every area of our lives, in our failure to put Him first in our lives. And when we begin to look at things like that, we begin to understand that we are born separated from God because of those facts, because of those sins, because of the fact that we are sinners, and because of the fact that we don't put God first in our lives. Therefore, we need the forgiveness of God. We need to simply come to Jesus Christ, come to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and in His name and through His sacrifice, we believe that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? We've been forgiven. And we are forgiven when we come to Christ, when we come to the Savior and we lay our sins at His feet and say, God, again, today I've sinned against You and I need forgiveness. And how many times do we need to come to God and seek forgiveness? You know, we will come to God. The level of our confession, if you will, and the number of times that we will come to God for forgiveness will all be determined by how sensitive we are to our sins. You know, if we've got an I don't care attitude, if I've violated God's law today, if we have, you know what, it really doesn't bother me if I've sinned today, it really doesn't bother me if I violated God's principles today, if I've been faithful to God today, if I've lied today, if I've done this today, you know, if we don't have an attitude where we are sensitive to our sins against God, we're not going to really care how often we come to Him and say, God, you know, today I've done some things, or I've said some things, or I've had some thoughts against people. I didn't love You today the way I ought to have loved You. I didn't witness to that guy that I know You were telling me to witness to. I violated Your laws, and God, would You forgive me? Help me tomorrow to be a little better. Help me tomorrow, God, to just do a little more for You. And this is the forgiveness that we find in the Bible, the forgiveness of God. And there's one other kind of forgiveness. We have the forgiveness amongst ourselves. We have the forgiveness of God. And some of you might be wondering, well, what is the other kind of forgiveness? Well, sometimes we need to learn to forgive ourselves. You know, we, again, as human beings, and speaking to you as one human being to another, you know, we do things in our lives, and there's things that we regret and things that we wish we did differently, and some things that, you know, maybe we've said. I talked about words a little while ago, and once they're out of our mouth, they can't come back. We can't bring them back. We can't take them back, and they're already gone. And sometimes we can really have a hard time forgiving ourselves for things that we've done or said. And then we become our worst enemies, and we beat ourselves up, and we become self-centered, if you will. And you know, we do need to realize that, you know what, if we violated God's law, or we've sinned against someone, or we've done something where we need those first two types of forgiveness, we've got to learn also, if God is going to forgive us, if God says that our sins will be as far as the east is from the west, and I will remember them no more, if God can do that, we've got to learn that we can do it as well. Amen? And then we start thinking, man, I'm a failure. Man, I've done this wrong, and I've done that wrong, and we just don't forgive ourselves. And we don't forget. We need to move forward. And it's interesting that Jesus Christ, as He was nailed to the cross, and as that cross was raised into the air, and then dropped into the hole, and then fastened to the ground, and before the dust even settled, Jesus Christ was speaking of forgiveness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiments, and they cast lots." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look into the subject of forgiveness today, Lord, it's an area where we all must be. Truly, our faith in our God and all that we think about, when we think about the Bible, when we think about Jesus Christ, when we think about the New Testament, it's all about forgiveness. We have a God who's a forgiving God. And as vile and as wretched as we are, and as sinful as we are, we have a God that was able to say, Father, forgive them. Lord, help us. If we're struggling maybe in one of the areas of forgiveness that we've seen, maybe forgiving one another, maybe forgiving, coming to You for forgiveness, or maybe sometimes it can be forgiving ourselves and not being able to get over things that we've done. God, would You help us for Your glory and for Your honor? And we'll thank You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. And amen. This first saying of Christ on the cross is paramount and important, because ultimately what Jesus Christ is saying is that no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've waded into the cesspool of sin, Christ will forgive you. You know, many of us have sinned in many different ways. Maybe there are some people that have been incarcerated. Maybe there are, I don't think here there's any Adolf Hitlers or Genghis Khans Mussolinis Lenins or any of those other kinds of heinous peoples of the past. But you know what? Even if it was Genghis Khan, or even if it was Lenin, or even if it was Hitler, no matter who it was, and no matter what you have done, and no matter what I have done, God is going to forgive us. Amen? Praise God that we've been forgiven. Praise God that no matter what our past was, no matter what our future is, and no matter what the present is bringing in our lives, Christ will forgive us. It's an incredible gift that God has given to us. No matter how good you seem to think you are, we've all offended one another at a time or times in our lives, and certainly we have been the offenders. We have sinned against others, and we too need forgiveness. Therefore, we should not only be keeping short accounts of our sins, maybe that we've committed to others, but we should also be keeping short sins to our Savior and our God. G.K. Chesterton said this: to love means loving the unlovable. To forgive means pardoning the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. And hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless. We have to have faith that God has forgiven us. We have to have hope in the eternal life. And all of those things are possible because we've got to realize that God has loved the unlovable. And yes, that is you. And God has forgiven the unforgivable. And that is us. The Bible says here, forgive them for they know not what they do, and they didn't know what they were doing. Satan has this world in his grasp and in his clutches. Satan has this world in derision. He has this world in blindness and in darkness. We are simply, the unsaved world is simply pawns in his game of chess. There was a man that talked about one of the former presidents of the United States, James Garfield. James Garfield was a lay preacher and a principal of a denominational college. They say that he was ambidextrous and he could simultaneously write Greek in one hand and Latin in the other hand. I know why he was elected president. And in 1880, he was, in fact, elected president of the United States. But after only six months in office, he was shot in the back with a revolver. He never lost consciousness. At the hospital, the doctors probed the wound with his little finger to seek the bullet, and he couldn't find it, so he tried a silver-tipped probe, and he still couldn't find the bullet. They took Garfield back to Washington, D.C., and despite the summer heat, they tried to keep him comfortable. He was growing very weak. Teams of doctors tried to locate the bullet, probing the wound over and over and over. In desperation, they even asked Alexander Graham Bell, who was working on his little device called the telephone, to see if he could come and see if he could locate the little piece of metal inside the president's body. Graham Bell came. He sought, but he too failed to find the bullet. The president hung on through July and through August, but in September, he finally died. He didn't die from the wound. He died from the infection caused by all of the probing. The repeating probing of the physicians that they thought would help the man eventually killed him. So it is with sin and unforgiveness. Sin and unforgiveness is like infection that will set in. You know what? It may not be the sin that kills us, but unforgiveness is a deadly weapon. And it will destroy us. And if we don't seek God, and we don't seek God's forgiveness, and we don't understand the seriousness of forgiveness, we will soon succumb as well. We will be weak and ineffective for God if we do not keep short accounts. And if we don't make sure our relationship with God is right. When we think about that, after nailing Jesus to the cross, Luke tells us that Jesus said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I'm going to ask a question. I've asked this question before about this little word here, "for." The Bible says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, that word can either mean cause or it can mean effect. In other words, it can mean in order to or because of. So we could say this, "Father, forgive them in order to make them know not what they're doing." Or we could say, because they do not know what they are doing. It's cause or effect. And I would ask you this morning, is it in order to, or is it the cause of, again, Christ's forgiveness? Is it the cause of his forgiveness? And we would say, no, it's the cause of the forgiveness. So all that being said, and I don't think I quite said that as well as I would like to, but I think we are on the same page. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. And that's an interesting thing when we think about that. It's remarkable that Jesus said this after he was nailed on the cross, after those individuals, those men, took those nails and they put it against his wrists and they began to pound them through his flesh and into the wood. He said it only moments after he was sentenced to die. He said it only moments after his trials. And all of the religious leaders and all of the people who were shouting to crucify him. And when he said this, Father, forgive them, it was for those people he was speaking. Who were those people? It was Judas who betrayed him. And it was Herod. And it was Pilate who had been derelict in their duties and responsibilities. It was the Jewish leaders who had plotted the execution of Jesus Christ. It was centurions who had scourged him, mocked him, and forced that crown of thorns onto his head. It was for those people that nailed him to the cross and cast lots for his clothing. It was for every man and for every woman and for every child in the crowd who had shouted in a frenzy to crucify the Savior of the world and the God of creation. And it was for you. And it was for me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You and I are the ones that nailed him there. Jesus was not only willing to forgive all of those who crucified him and participated in the wicked deed, but he was eager to forgive them as well. For just after they put him on the cross, the very first words that came from his lips were words of forgiveness. You know, some people live in a cloud of guilt. Some people live in maybe guilt about maybe offenses amongst people. Maybe other people live in a cloud of guilt over offenses that they've done to God, and maybe some things where they violated his laws and his principles. Other people live in clouds of guilt over the fact that they cannot forgive themselves for what they've done in their lives. There are people out there that have committed heinous crimes in society, who have blasphemed the name of God, and many people believe that they're too wicked, they're too bad, that they're just too undone to come to God for forgiveness. They're too depraved for God to be able to sin, but God has proven to us here that if he can say forgive them, he can forgive us. And if God can forgive us, then we can forgive others. And if we can forgive others and God can forgive us, then we can forgive ourselves. Father, forgive them. These are incredibly powerful words. They crucified the sinless, innocent Son of God for no reason. I'm glad what John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with the weight of guilt for some sin, or something you've never been able to forgive yourself for, or something you can't forgive others for, or maybe something that you maybe have asked God to forgive you for, but you can't get over it, You know, God said that he would forget. Then you can forget as well. Martin Luther said, forgiveness is a command of God. Unforgiveness is sin. Unforgiveness is a violation of the laws of God. And if we can't forgive, and if we can't forgive ourselves, then we violated God's law. There was an attorney, a Christian lawyer. Yeah, you can be a Christian and a lawyer. Amen? And he was reading his Bible one day, and he was reading some verses about forgiving people their debts. And Lord, God just impressed upon him to forgive the debt of all the people that he had worked with who owed him money for more than 6 months. So he got out his books and he looked at all of these people that had owed him money, and he wrote out letters, 17 letters. And he put them in the mail, registered, signature required, sent them out. And over the next little while, one by one, all of the letters started coming back to him. And he started thinking, you know, maybe it's because some of them have moved away. But that's probably unlikely. By the end of it all, 16 of the 17 letters of forgiveness had come back. 16 letters of forgiveness and pardon. And at the end of the day, the reason why those letters never ended up in the hands of the recipient was because when they got the letters, when those people got the letters, they all figured that it was a letter from the lawyer stating that he was going to be suing them to get the money that they owed him. And so they figured the best way is just to send the letter back. They refused to sign it and just sent the letter back. You know, God has given us a letter here. And God has given us a promise of forgiveness. These individuals, good thing I had an OtterBox on that phone. These individuals, Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because they don't know what they do. They don't realize. You know, before we came to Christ, we were in the hands and clutches of the devil, blinded by his ways and his wiles, and you know, ultimately, when you stop and think about it, everyone in this world, including us at one time, thought we were good enough. We didn't truly realize what we were doing. The Holy Spirit of God came along, and maybe a soul winner, or maybe somebody giving us the scriptures, and suddenly we started to realize, and suddenly as we got into the letter, as we got into this book, we started to realize, you know what, that we did owe a debt, and that we were in trouble. And then as we read a little further into this letter, we realize that, yeah, we're in trouble, but God has offered us a pardon. You know, I don't know, I'm assuming everyone here this morning has probably made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know, I believe everyone has. I would think we have. But if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, God is sending you a letter. And the only thing that's going to stop you from getting saved is not realizing. Not realizing you've sinned against God. Not realizing that you need the pardon. You know what people do is they just send the letter back. I don't want it, Lord. I don't want to deal with it. Listen, folks. It's the most wonderful news in the world. Amen. But we're afraid to sign. We're afraid to make the commitment to Christ. If you're here and you've never been saved, you know what? Take the letter. Amen. Take the letter. God will pardon you. God will forgive you. And God will give you a new lease in life. Amen. If you're a Christian, you're here this morning. Maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. Whether it's forgiving someone else or not even concerned about your relationship with God and coming to Him in forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, keeping short accounts. Forgiveness is pretty important to the Lord. Amen? And it should be pretty important to us. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here again this morning. We thank You, first of all, that You're a forgiving God. Sometimes we're not as forgiving as You, whether it's ourselves or whether it's other people. We're not willing to forgive. And Lord God, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that has never received the pardon for our debt, I pray this morning that they would know and understand that they have a debt and that they've sinned against God, and we need that pardon. We need the forgiveness. I pray if there's someone here that they might come down to this old-fashioned altar. I pray also, Lord, if a Christian here maybe that is struggling with either forgiving themselves or forgiving another, or even again their daily accounts with God, I pray again that we would take seriously this business of forgiveness. So for Your glory and for Your honor, would You bless as we have this altar call, and may hearts be touched. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Let's stand together, and again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but if you need to come, you need to do business, the altar is open. If you need to come and be saved, come and let me know. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Whatever your need this morning is, the altar is open.